So we talked last week about the issues of Yehorik Val-Yavar, and so Tosfos, we're in the Beis Yosef, again, in the middle of Shema Sef Aleph, it says Kasva Tosfos, towards the bottom of page Shin Mem Vav in my edition of the Torah Beis Yosef. So Tosfos, he's quoting Tosfos in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, in the Haran over there. So there they ask the question, they say, why is it, remember the question was, actually here, the Hadam Rinan de Giloy Arayos, Yehorig Valyavar, Dafka Habo, actually that's already the answer. Tosfos asked the question, why is it that Esther, we had a discussion last week in the Gemara about Esther, that Esther asked, isn't Esther Bifar Hesya? And the Gemara responds by saying, well, she was either Karka Olam or was Hanas Atzomi. She was either a non active participant or Akashur was doing it for his own desires and not having to do with trying to get her to violate the din. So Tosfos asks, well, okay, but then it's, that's the case, it's Gilei Arayos. And Gilei Arayos is Yehorig Val-Yavar even without those conditions. So why shouldn't it be a problem anyways? That's Tosfos' kasha.
Even without which conditions?
Even without the Farhesia, yeah. Right? So, oh, it wasn't Esther with Farhesia, that's the question of the Gemara. So Tosfos asks, why do we care if it's Farhesia?
So the question's on Farhesia.
Right.
Not on the other answers. Okay.
So Tosfos answers by saying, well, the Hadamin Gilei Arayos Yehorig Val-Yavar Dafka Habola. He says, well, Gilei Arayos is only an issue on the male. But with regards to the female, she could have, she could be Mivael, she could have, that's the answer to Karka Olam, right? Let her be violated, Lo Taharik, and she doesn't have to be killed. Why? The Karka Olam, because I'm meaning Gabi Esther, as we say by Esther. Umiyu Lasos Maisa, but to be, to actually be actively involved. Like she is told to bring an erva upon her to be an active participant. That tahorik baal tasa, and then maisa al tasa maisa. Veisha fi, and with a male, afilu omer lo hanach litkoa uschab beerva yahorik val yavor de lo matzil lemeim or lo abdinan maisa de in kishu yelo das. With regards to a male, so the male can't say that I was just a bystander because he can't get an erection without him having a consideration on that matter. And that itself is already considered a maisa. So the male is automatically involved, unless, and the basis he continues on and says, unless he already had an erection beforehand, and then the gun is put to his head, so then maybe he could claim that he also would be karkol. Okay, so that's the issue with regards to Gilei Arayos. Then the Beis Yosef continues on and says, because who owed the Hadash, she was dumb in Yehorik Val-Yavar.
So that means a woman can never do, be over.
Not never. No, she could. Meaning, if she has a way of getting around it. I mean, if he says, let me have view with you or else I'm going to kill you, so she could just lay there, not do an action, and she would be exempt. But if he says to her, go and arouse him or something, right, that would then be a problem in Yehorik. That would then lead to this issue. That's actually a Maisa. Then he gets into the Shvichus Damim issue. So this is a very prominent Bedek Abayis here. We'll see why. V'chasu o d'had the Shvichus Damim yehorig v'al-yavur d'apka k'sh'om lo l'horig v'yadayim. Aval im omrim lo hanach lizruk atzmo chalatino v'yismaich enu chayiv limser atzmo. This is similar to the previous idea. That if Shvichus Damim, the idea, kill him or else I'm going to kill you, that's if that means, okay, take a gun and then kill him. But if he says, I want him to die and I want you to be the cause of his death, so stand still and I'm going to push you onto him, which is therefore going to cause him to die, so then you have the right, a person would say, let's do whatever you want. I'm just going to stand here, and if you want to push me in order for him to die, so fine. If you want to kill me and not have him die, so that's also fine. But I'm just going to not. I'm not going to move at all.
It's a little hard to prevent that anyway.
Well, the question is, if he was given a choice.
Yeah, what's his choice? The guy's going to push him off. Okay.
That's in Tosfos. I'm not sure everybody. I remember not everybody agreeing. Though I didn't see anybody here that disagrees. But the Dafka Shom. So what's the lumdus? The lumdus is that you have. I don't remember whether your chef discussed this as being a dilemma. A dilemma means that you have two choices and neither of them are good ones, right? So your choice is either to do nothing, or your choice is to go ahead and do something, which would mean to kill somebody, right? So that you're not allowed to do. You can't do the action. So therefore, you're going to stand still. So in the time when the guy says, "Listen, kill him, or else I'm going to kill you." So then you stand still, and that means he's going to kill you. If it means I'm going to push you onto him and cause him to die, otherwise I'm going to kill you. So in theory you have a choice. You could say, okay, go ahead and kill me, or you could say, I'm going to stand here and do whatever you want. So he could do, he does whatever he wants, he pushes you, so you also haven't done a maisa, right? The idea is, in the face of a dilemma, so you stand still and you don't do anything. That's the lumbus of what's going on here. So Lizar Asal Tif, he's not inu chayiv l'msaras, you're not chayiv to do such a thing. Then the chasub orchos chayim. So the Bereishis Rabbah, that there is a medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, Doresh va'achas tamchem l'nafshu seichem. That's a pasuk all the way in the beginning of Bereishis. That's by the section of Noach, where Noach is told, achas tamchem, that's the makor for not to murder as part of the Sheva Mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. So as hara l'chonik es atzmo, so the medrash learns out that the word ach is to teach a azhara. Sorry, no, that is itself a warning to hang yourself, right? A warning to commit suicide. One is not permitted to commit suicide. So yachol, the medrash continues, afil kechanani mishal v'azarya, tamud lomar ach. So maybe even like Hanani mishal v'azarya. So we came across them last week. Those are the three guys in Sefer Daniel who had said we're not going to bow down to that idol, which wasn't really an idol, and they're risking their life anyways. So maybe even like them, who were willing to, who didn't really have to die, but were willing to do so. So tamalim ra'ach, that they're excluded. Perish shabashas hashmad yachulim sar atzmo l'misa v'laharagas atzmo. That during a period of persecution you're allowed to give up yourself for death, and even kill yourself. If you're concerned that you're not going to be able to survive the test, being concerned that they're going to torture you, you're afraid that they're going to impose some kind of thing on you to get you to do the Avodah Zarah, so therefore you could even, and this is what the Rosh Chaim is saying, or based on this medrash, you could even kill yourself in order to avoid that test. Similarly, the same thing with Shaul. He was afraid that their Pelishtim were going to torture him. Right, I thought even Shaul might be a problem. So therefore, it tells you that Shaul is not included in that problem. And then, so that's big chiddush number one, right? Big chiddush number one is based on this medrash. It seems to be pretty explicit in this medrash that I would have thought that even these, that you're not allowed to commit suicide. But these cases, you're allowed to, and it sounds like, what, at least the way the Orchos Chaim is interpreting the medrash, sounds like, no, you're allowed to commit suicide in these cases.
What about, like, Masada they committed?
Well, okay, did they do the right thing as Masada?
I don't know. They don't have the ceremonies there anymore. And I think maybe that'd be one of the reasons why.
Okay.
You used to have the army induction ceremonies. So. They do them at the Kotel.
Well, I thought they do. I mean, it's a lot of different places.
They do it different places, but I'm not sure it's so common at the Masada anymore.
Okay. And Masada's hard. Let's judge these cases. I mean, the part of Dr. Salavitch's article is that there are cases in the Gemara of suicides and mass suicides, and that seems to be accepted as a positive, but you have to go back and figure out what the texts say, right? So the Medrash seems to say that, well, we have Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, right? And sounds like they were committing suicide, and the Medrash seems to exempt them, right? That's a decent source. Umikami vi raya, and here they also even, and then you even go even further. Umikami vi raya hashochtim hatinokos, that there are people who actually killed the babies b'shas hashmat during times of persecution, right? In order to make sure that they don't fall prey to doing a avodah zarah, etc. Right? So that not only is one killing himself, but even doing murder in order to avoid that. So v'yesh osrim. However, there are those that aser. What do you mean, aser? So one first can say, well, the aser killing the babies. No, Yesh Osrim seems to be they prohibit the whole thing. They prohibit any case of doing suicide. And then they explain those two sources in the Medrash. Umefarshim hach tamad lomar ach, that the idea of learning ach, she'inu yachol lahar ga'atzma, l'charan l'shal v'yazariya masur atzim b'yad acherim. The charan l'shal v'yazariya weren't committing suicide, they were just going to be killed. that was just what was going to happen to them. But someone else was going to be doing the killing. Aval heim lo pagu ba'atzma, they weren't going to kill themselves. What about Shaul? Shaul baratzon chacham amasa. he wasn't doing Veratzon Chachamim. Right? Shaul actually did, right, what was the story there? He asked this kid to kill him, and the kid didn't, the kid refused, so Shaul fell on the sword himself, literally, fell on the sword. So Shaul, what about Shaul? It seems that he did commit suicide. So he says, Shaul Veratzon Chachamim. Shaul wasn't right. Shaul did the wrong thing. Right? That's a, I mean, there's always a question in biblical, you know, people, we talk about the way they do the right thing. Shaul, in fact, is a bigger question, because Shaul spent the last 10 prakim of Sefer Shmuel seemingly not doing the right thing. I mean, if you try to defend what he's doing, try to understand exactly what his motivations were, but he spent that whole time chasing after David. He killed the entire city of Dov. And these are things that he's punished for. So does he count as a source? So their suggestion here is that no. Now, I have a little bays with a bracket. You have that also? It goes to the bottom. Hakos v'haros?
No.
Remember I just read, Shelo baratzon chachamim asa? Now I have a little letter there.
No.
You don't?
No, but it's... No, we don't have a letter. So where do you want us to go?
Well, you might not have it. No, you don't have it on the page. Okay, you don't have it on the page. So in my edition of the tour, there's something called the Bab Hakos v'haros, where he quotes here from the Knesset HaGedolah, where he says that, I don't like this idea that Shaul didn't do the right thing. Right? Shaul was a Bechir Hashem, when Shaul was chosen by Hashem, and how can you say he didn't do the right thing? So rather, Shaul is an exception, because Shaul was told by Shmuel that you're going to die tomorrow. Right? When was he told? Shmuel had already been dead for a while. But that's the story, that's what he told him in that dream. Well, whatever happened there, when Shaul went to the when Shaul went to the diviner, that woman, and they called up Shmuel, so Shmuel told Shaul, depending on which Rishonim you learn, whether it actually happened or whether it was a dream, but Shmuel told Shaul, you're going to die tomorrow. So it says the Knesset HaGedolah, so Shaul was permitted to commit suicide because he knew he was going to die anyways, and rather it's better that he die by himself rather than die at the hands of the police, at the hands of the enemies. But that's so whether Shaul, so how to understand that medrash, as is that really a core for us, is unclear. The medrash seems to exempt, this medrash itself seems to exempt Shaul, but then you have the Knesset HaGedolah say, yeah, maybe Shaul was exempt, but somebody else in that circumstance maybe wouldn't be exempt. And then he tells this harrowing story. There was a Rav who actually shechted the tinokim, the babies in his town, during the time of persecution. He was afraid the Christians were going to come and they were going to take him and they were going to try to convert him. But there was another Rav in town, and he got angry with him, and he called him a murderer. Right? But he wasn't concerned for his dvarim. But Amar Harav Hamuneya in Kidvrai Yaharag Oso Rav Misa. So Rav B, meaning the Rav, the accusing Rav, who was trying to get him to stop, said that if the luck is like me, that rabbi should die b'misa mishuna, in an unusual way, meaning in a harrowing way. And that's what happens. Shetafsuhu Gayim, that the Gayim captured him, Vayupostim Oro, Venostim Chol Bein Ha'or V'Habasar, that they raked off his skin and they placed sand between his flesh and his skin. And then the Gezer fell away. Vim Lo Shachar Osam Efshar Shehayu Nitzulim Velo Hayu Hargim Osam. Right? If he wouldn't have shechted those children, so they would have been saved and they wouldn't have been killed. Right? So what exactly is the psak coming out of that? Right? He seems to be leaning towards that's not a very good idea. We'll discuss maybe Yerucham kind of quote, I think tells the same story. Right, that you're not considered chol ba'atzmo if you die for the rest of the sins, or for the other types of sins, so to Yerushalmi, this is one word we've learned. Yeah, okay, so that stuff I think we've done already. But we'll learn, the Maram was asked this. The Maram, who we'll talk about on Wednesday night, so somebody came to him and asked him a shayla and said, I killed my children. What's the kapara for killing my children? I killed my children because I was afraid that the Crusades were coming, and it turns out they didn't come. What's the kapara for that? That's the shayla they asked the Maram. So we'll discuss that Wednesday night. Hmm? Okay. Okay, coming attractions. So, Okay, so that's issue two. Now, that issue doesn't get played in Shulchan Aruch. I'm not sure why. Shulchan Aruch, I believe, was written after the Vedic Abayas. It doesn't get mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. It does get mentioned at the very end of the Shira last week. We quoted it in the Shach. The Shach quotes this idea and leaves it, I think, as a question. Sham Sheish Cholkim Sheinu Yachol Harag Esatzmo Ayin Sham Shaharag. You can see the Vedic Abayas where it's discussed at length. So you can see the Vedic Abayas, which you just did, and it's discussed at length, but it's unclear what really is the conclusion to this. Dr. Grach's point is that there's a big difference whether you're discussing the issue before the point or after the point. In that article, he says, like, after it was done, it's hard to say that such a person was terrible. Right? And we have to, that was considered, dying on Kiddush Hashem was considered an important thing. So it's hard to then turn around and say that such a person was not doing kiddin when the person was a hero. Yeah, okay. Fine, let's continue on in the Beis Yosef a little bit more, I think.
The problem is you don't know what's going to happen sometimes.
Yeah.
The story, you know, is also the story of the old load of young people who was.
Right, so he discusses that article. He discusses that case.
Yeah, on one hand, you don't know, on the other hand, they assumed it would be for moral purposes, whatever.
Right, so that's brought as a riot. That's brought as a riot by those that claim that this is permissible, based on that Gemara, which the Gemara seems to talk about them in a good light. So the two halachic arguments against that, he points out, is that it's a gata, who really knows what it means. Right? And B, even if you know what it means, who says they're right? who says that actually was the correct course of action? Now the Gemara seems to bring it as, oh, look at the heroism. On the other hand, not necessarily, because if you learn that Gemara, right, that's part of a page of five dafim in a row, right? What?
Another tragedy.
Right. So it could just be read as another tragedy, not necessarily they did it correct. It could just be that they. But I think there is a baskel. There's a baskel in that Gemara. I think that comes out and says that they. Yeah, look at that Gemara again. There's a Gemara, and we're talking about the Gemara.
I know the story. I don't remember reading it in the Gemara. I mean, I just heard it outside.
Yeah, right. The Gemara is in.
So there was a Bas Kol, and what are the?
I think. Do they have the Sefes Gittin here? Someplace. All right, we'll check that for next week. It's in the Sefes Gittin, Bas Nun Zion, I think.
Nun Zion is the beginning. It's probably much further in than that. But anyway.
Zion is the Bark. Okay. No, it's towards the beginning. It's in, I think, the first Daf. Is that story?
Isn't there some case with was it Sora Shneur or something?
So there is a story that goes that during the Holocaust that there were 43 Beis Yaakov girls with their teachers, and they were being put up in a brothel, and their teacher had smuggled a cyanide capsule for everybody, and the author cyanide capsule all committed suicide. So. And the way it found out, it's a little somewhat off topic, but there is the way that this found out is that there was a letter that was somehow smuggled out, found its way to the desk of Rabbi Leo Young in the Manhattan Jewish Center, and he actually sent it to the New York Times. It was published on the front page of the New York Times. That's that story. J.J. Schaffner has an article they wrote with somebody else questioning whether it actually happened. There's several historical problems with it. First of all, how in the world would a Beis Yaakov teacher have a cyanide capsule, have 45 cyanide capsules to go around? Second of all is that we don't actually have, he claimed that we don't actually have any documented history of Nazis raping Jews. I mean, it probably happened, but that it was done in an organized way, that they put them in they put them in a place and had them get ready, and that kind of thing could happen in an organized fashion. We don't have any other case in the Holocaust of such things taking place. For Jewish girls, there's actually laws against Nazi soldiers raping Jewish women. And also how in the world would a letter get out? I mean, how would somebody know in order to be able to see in order to get a letter that would, so he raises those questions, and then says that, well, this is just put in the story in a martyrdom context. I mean, this is kind of put in those stories. So like whether it happened or didn't happen is irrelevant, much as it's part of our tradition that these things do happen. There's actually a street in Israel, I believe, like Rehov HaDalet, like Hamem Gimel or something.
Really?
Whatever the number is, it's a street in Yerushalayim named after them. But anyway, I think the article is even available online if you
J.G. Schefter's article.
That article, yeah. So, yeah, such a story is definitely out there and part of, like, our lore, but in terms of historically whether it took place or not, so that's questioned by historians of the time. Okay, so the next section raises the issue about, right, it raises the issue of whether with a non-Jew is actually considered Gilui Arayos in the first place, which is part of what Tosfos answers as well. I mean, Tosfos raised that question, right, was Esther violating Gilui Arayos? So one of Tosfos' answers is, well, no, she actually wasn't violating Gilui Arayos, that's why it wasn't prohibited to her. It was only prohibited to her because there was a Maisa Isser Bifarhesia, that a Jewish woman was living with a non-Jewish male, Bifarhesia, right, it wasn't technically a Gilui Arayos issue, it was beyond that. It was a different type of issue.
So the concept is a living with a Gentile is not considered Gilui Arayos.
Right. So it's very well. Right.
Is that in both directions? Is that only if the man is Gentile?
So I think the claim.
Let me see what happened to Zimri.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that now we have all these. I always thought the simplistic view of Gilui Arayos, I mean, illicit relations. Now you're putting all sorts of like, oh, that the woman and she was Karka Olam, and now it's like, now maybe with a non-Jew, it's not Gilui Arayos. So the non-Jew is saying to have relations, forbidden relations with another Jew and forcing you to do it, or is that? Prototypical situation?
Well, I know. The prototypical situation of Gilui Arayos is that a woman has an affair with a Jewish male, right? And that
right, that's what I'm saying. And then the non-Jew said, you do it, otherwise I'm going to kill you.
Right. Right, right. But so that would be the classic case of Gilui Arayos Betzina. Now, there's beyond that, and Shulchan Aruch Paskins this way, that things that are connected to Gilui Arayos are usur, and perhaps us and probably usur, even to the level of Yehoreg Vayavar as well. I think is that what's alluded to here? Okay, that's the second. We could do this Beis Yosef here. So continue on from where we left off. So Chasav Aram, Masechus Yom B'Shem Aramban, the Goy HaBal Bas Yisrael, Lav HaBal Gilei Arayos, it's not technically Gilei Arayos. The Biznus, Gezeres based in Shel Shemhu, that it's Biznus, which is included in the Gezeres based in of Shel Shem. Okay, I'm not sure what that's referring to. We'll look up that Gemara. What?
Shem, the son of Noah.
Yeah, no, that could be. I'm not sure what the it's just not sure what the reference is to the beast in of Shem that they made the Gezerah on that. But okay, could, I mean, that could be as part of the Shemus they know. Okay, v'der chasnus milot tischatim bam. So if it's just nus, have a Jew with a non-Jew, so that's included in this gezerah. And if it's gila, if it's marriage, so that's included in the prohibition of lot tischatim bam. Lot tischatim bam, you shouldn't have a marriage with a non-Jew. Now even that pasuk is unclear what that pasuk is referring to. It might just be referring to the sheva mitzvah spinning, to the sheva
moment,
the sheva amim. Correct. Okay, but nafik the mishara veirusi v'lo havi b'chal gilei arayos ela eishes ish b'Yisrael. And really the only thing that is Gilei Arayos is a Jewish woman, right? Inami Yisrael haba al hagaya dimichayve misusu, or a Jew that has via with a non-Jewish woman, right? That which we chayve misus, the hakanayim pogimbo, because we see that that's kanayim pogimbo, that you know, the zealots can come and kill him right away, which is what happened with the story of Zimri and Cosby. Umichayve krisus nami. Now, even that is a little questionable. I mean, I think that Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses that. What if the Kanaim doesn't come? What if the Zelt doesn't come and kill him? Yeah, so it could be that there's no Isser. Not necessarily. I mean, it could be that there's no punishment then that based him with an minister in its place. It could be just a Kanaim Pokemon issue. Fine. And that's how you could understand the answer that about Esther, that when Esther is doing with regards to Esther, Hanos Asmo Shaini, that well, because of his, because the Hanos was only him, that case is different. But Sarah Flomar the Lasle Drasha, thou Tikre Levas El Labayas, the Lo Havaba El Isura the Guy, right? And well, wait a second.
I think he's saying that the drash makes her an ish.
Right, that he must be that he doesn't hold to the drasha of right al tikri levas el levayis, that she wasn't actually married to Mordechai. The lo hava ba el isur the guy, the only isur involved there was with a non-Jew. Haba al bas Yisrael. The av gilei rayosu, and if it wasn't gilei rayos el mishar mitzos. The kaven the lo hava ba isur the gilei rayos kol she'ina goy mischavin el lanas asmo shari. And because it wasn't actually gilei rayos, because it was only and then it was only for the hana of the guy, so then it would be mother. V'chein nir shehu das rabin of tam per kamen de ksuvas per kamen sora v'chein kasa Mordechai v'shmach chayim v'nir shulz and that's a rashi. Okay, fine. Good. All right. The next, maybe we'll go to the Shulchan Aruch just to do some Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, there are two other important subjects here, which truth is are not really talked about in the Shulchan Aruch itself. I don't think. One is, well, what if you don't do it? I mean, what is your status if you? If someone puts a gun to your head and says, you know, kill him or else I'm going to kill you, and you kill him rather than die, or you do gilei rayos rather than die, so what is the status of your chet? That's the next section. We'll see that maybe for next week. And then the last section is this issue of what if somebody comes and says, hand me over one, otherwise I'm going to kill all of you. So that we'll save for next week, but let's do a little bit in the Shulchan Aruch that we covered tonight. So if we go to Shulchan Aruch, back to Kuf, we're still in Kuf Nun Zayin Sif Aleph. Yeah, so it's a very long sif. We did the first mechaper, we did the first section of the Ramah. And now we're up to the let's start from the second section of the mechaper here. Yeah. Second section of the Mechaber says, V'imhu
b'farhesya. Wait a second. So,
little letter. If you go to Kuftan Zayin Sif Aleph, right, okay. There's a section of Mechaber, then there's a little section of Ramah. Well, not so little, but a few lines of Ramah.
Mm-hmm. Right,
and then there's the Mechaber again. Mm-hmm. It says, V'imhu b'farhesya, d'hain b'fnei asar mi Yisrael, chayv liharik v'lo yavor. Right, if it's in front of 10 people, that's the din of b'farhesya. So then you'd be chayv to be killed rather than violated. 10 from Jews, right, that's itself is a question. Right, ima oi kuchav mechavim lavir al das. If the point that the non-Jew is trying to get you to do is to actually get you to violate the din. Right, a few a la carte to the Masana, even if it's on the shoelace. But if he just wants to get his own enjoyment, so then let him get hana and violate it and don't be killed. But if there's a time of the gezeira specifically on Jews, a few arcs of the Masana, Yahorig Val Yavor. Even the shoelace would rise to Yahorig Val Yavor. So the Shach makes a comment here. We've neyud the Israel. And he says, Dafka, right, the Shach Dalid, Dafka ten me Yisrael, v'ein ratzulam rifnei amam, which doesn't necessarily mean it has to be in front of them, explicitly right in front of them, el she yodin me aveir, they know about the aveira. V'ha chimuchach v'shas v'potzim kabe v'ha eser v'farhes yava, right, and that's the meaning of the question of Esther. Farhesia. Right, Esther wasn't gonna be in front of everybody, but yet it was still considered Bifarhesia. Now we referenced this Arkas of the Masana question last week. Right, what is the Pshat in Arkas of the Masana? So this I was looking for this dispute. This is where it is. The Shach makes this comment. Perish Rashi should derech obikachav lichur kach, derech Yisrael lichur in yinachir. Right, the non-Jews tie their shoes one way, and the Jews would tie it a different way. The Chodesh Tzad Yehudis. So he says, even though this is a way of extra modesty somehow, I don't know what it was, but some kind of way of extra modesty, and it was just a minhag, still, that would be something that a Jew would give their life up for rather than die. That's the shita of Rashi. But v'harif perish she'ovikcham she'osus man hayirutzus minalos adumus v'Yisrael hayos and shcharos. So no. The difference wasn't in the way they did it. The difference was in the color. Right? Non-Jews used red shoelaces. Jews used black shoelaces. Why? And therefore the issue was the Jews didn't want to wear the clothing of non-Jews. The chassid of Maharik, the Hainu Kimashu Chassid Rashi, Sheish Tzad Yehudis B'davar. That is, I looked it up today. That is the Maharik, by the way, that matters certain types of non-Jewish clothing for Jews. I mean, a doctor's coat. If there's a good reason why you would want to wear a doctor coat, remember seeing a commercial once for like a uniform company, and it showed like a guy walking in and playing around, and I think the tagline was, without a uniform he's just some guy playing around with your sink. Right? So there's a good purpose for wearing a uniform, but if it's just to get you to do something else, so then that's what we call kukasagayit, right? That's what we call going in the ways of the non-Jews. She said yadus b'davar b'yosef kastu aram b'far shudach b'chai gavna shul yubush mabush obi kochavim shu mitzvas lo tase, right? And he claims that's the term that they're not trying to just get you to violate a minug, they're actually trying to get you to violate a isur d'oraisa. So it's not, so that actually is a big kula, meaning that, so it sounds like a bit of a chumrah that, oh, we're all of a sudden changing shoelaces and making that an isur d'oraisa, but really what he's saying is that only if it's an isur would you have the din of Yehorin Valyavar, but if it's just a minug, you would not. That seems to be the way the shach would read it. Now, how would you pass in that machlokas? So we had that shach last week from Sif Aleph, where the shach says, I'm not really sure how to pass. Generally, we would try to pass in Lekula because it's Dini Nefashos, but the shach points out, it's unclear whether that is a feature of these disputes over here.
Is he saying that wearing Gentile clothing is the Issur, or is he saying something else?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so there's an Issur anyway to wear a Gentile.
Right, but it's not Yehorin Valyavar. So he's saying that in this scenario, even that would be Harik Valyavar. Yeah. Maybe just do two comments in the... I realize we're off in the Beis Yosef Shulchan Aruch, but starting to get a little late. Let's take a look at the Piskei Tshuva here. Piskei Tshuva Vav. Piskei Tshuva Vav says, if it's in public, v'chasov bishla, b'shar ha'osiyo sof os aleph, dal kiddush Hashem mevarchim, baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech olam, v'shir kishan asavet zivanu, l'kadish shemo barabim. Right, so what does that sound? That sounds like something that we say. Right, that's probably the source for that bracha that said about Shema during Birchas HaShachar. It probably comes from this era that they would say, well, we don't know when it's going to happen, so let's make a bracha every morning just in case that's the day that you die on Kiddush Hashem. But there's a source for actually making a bracha before dying on Kiddush Hashem. It's Asher Varchim al Kiyumun. V'ayin Sham, Gamkin Hatam Lam Varchim L'Kadesh, V'ayin Omrim al Kiddush. Why do we say L'Kadesh Eshemo Barabim as opposed to al Kiddush Hashem? So see the Shla who discusses it. Okay.
What are you saying? Shava Osios?
I think he's sending you to a place. Yeah, Zion. He says b'fnei asar b'Yisrael. So I am asher kasta el simon beis if katan vav be'inyan imhu atzmo b'chal asara. So now, does he count as one of the ten, right, or not? The gambilin. The gam be'inyan says be'inyan, right? The gam be'inyan im nashim mitzar from lezen. Do women count? Or do we, right? Why would I think women would count to a minyan? Because women are also mechuyev in the midst of Kiddush Hashem. Right? So maybe for these purposes, they would actually count as part of the minyan. I think I gave a first Seder Shir on that a couple weeks ago. Onemat di imatu mivnei Yisrael, velo benos Yisrael. Or maybe it's only that it's bnei Yisrael, not benos Yisrael. Vechorinir dafka Yisrael velo geirim. He also says maybe it's only, it has to be a minyan of Jews, and not a minion of Geirim, as we learn in Sota. Why? Divnei Yisrael mashmal l'me'ute Geirim. That sometimes that it says Bnei Yisrael to exclude Geirim. V'achaksiv v'nikdashti b'soch Bnei Yisrael. The midst of Kiddush Hashem is that I should be saying tefillah amongst Bnei Yisrael. So maybe it's only Jews and not Geirim. V'shem agam hacha yish eza riba. Maybe here also there's some kind of riboy. What's that talking about? So in the Gemara, often as this drasha, like why do I have going through its list of drashos or like trying to figure out what every word of the pasuk means? And says, ah, what do you do with this word? Oh, that's to include gerim. So that's great, but half the time, the pasuk that says lo tirtzach, you shouldn't murder. There's no riboy in the pasuk to include that also gerim shouldn't murder, right? So when does the Torah feel the need to have a riboy to sell you, oh, this even includes gerim, and this doesn't? To my knowledge, there is no mitzvah that actually excludes goyim. I mean, there's often Gerim. I mean, right? It often say, "How do we need this?" Possible? Oh, that's to include Gerim. Or here it says, "Oh, well, it says Vechol B'nei Yisrael." So maybe it would exclude Gerim. So Kamash Malan, it has some kind of riboy to include Gerim. To my knowledge, there is no case that says, "Ah, Taka, you're right. Gerim are excluded from this mitzvah." There is a bit of a question about, and I think this is. shaila that I think this is the shaila that was asked to the Rambam. The Rambam has a tshuva to a ger. I think this is it, where he's asked, "What should I say in terms of the brachos that reference?" That reference my parents, or right, Elkeinu Elokeinu Seinu, like our parents. Well, are they? All right. So, do you change it? Do you not change that? I listened to a talk recently from Rabbi Shai Schefter, who discussed some of the sources on that. I think Lamaisa, we don't change anything, but that is a subject of great dispute over the years. But anyway, so this issue of who's included in the ten, right? Are women included in the ten? So that's something to look out for, and also. One more, Yehorig, the last one, Yehorig Val Yavor, it's also interesting, says, Ayin B'tshuvas Shvus Yaakov, about the following, Shnishal Pam Achas Shagazer Leim Gezeru Lahavaris Das, Yehuyavim Liharig V'lo Lavor, U'miksasan Yechom Livroach. So he said there was some kind of Gezera, that there was going to be a group of people that were going to be killed, because of a Yehorig Val Yavor issue, I mean, rather than Mershma Vodazar, they're going to be killed, and some of them had the ability to run away. So they obligated to run away in order to save their life. So they wouldn't be like they committed suicide. I mean, if you had a right to run away and you don't, so then it's like you're committing suicide. O Neymar, do we say Del Yifreshu Min HaTzibor? Maybe you shouldn't separate from the Tzibor. Shemichuyavim Lipsor Esnafshem Al Kiddush Hashem. That you have a mitzvah available to you now to die Al Kiddush Hashem. So you should take advantage of it. Veheishiv Daftim Divrei Tosfos B'Psachim Daftim Gemal Beis Gabi Chanan Mishal Ve'Azari Mavur Dafil Yichol Nimalik Al Nafshem Ein Livroach Lein Livroach. That even though Chanan Mishal Ve'Azari seem to have the opportunity to run away, yet they didn't. That maybe if you could fulfill both, that you won't violate the mitzvah, and yet you could still fulfill the chaybahem, that would be better. Now, what exactly, I guess, Chananya Mishal Varazariah were asking, we have to go, do we also have to, like, what should we do about both bowing down? But here, they could just run away. I mean, what's going to happen? The next day they're going to say, bow to the cross or something. Right? So they say, so then they don't have the right to not bow down to the cross. But if they have the ability to run away, so they're the best of both worlds. A, they're not dying, and B, they're not doing a vodazara. Uvidivri tosus efshel atari. So mikol makom imrotz lahakra alatma shol livroach v'limser nafshel l'kiddush Hashem v'rabim shemimenu yilavdu acher mul mikrim avidatz muladas. But yet if a person decides, no, I'm going to, even though I have the ability to run away, I'm not going to run away, they're not considered somebody who committed suicide. Okay. Maybe we'll stop here.
Maybe we'll talk about it.